So, I was going over my lesson the other day, and motivation or motives are what we're talking about tonight. And so Mark goes, hey, he says, Kim, have you ever seen those demotivational posters? You know those motivational posters where there's an ego soaring and it says, you can do anything you want and just try and blah, blah, blah. So there's these things called demotivational posters, which appeal to my snarky, sarcastic side. So I didn't want to print them up because they'd use way too much ink. So I'm going to just briefly hold it up and give you the description of what the picture is in case you can't see it, and then enjoy. You might be like, this woman is warped. She's got this warped sense of humor. Okay, so this one says optimism, and it's a picture of a tiger with a little bunny coming up to it, and it says optimism, often confused with stupidity. Then here's one, man sitting on a bench, looking at the water, all by his own self, says loneliness, just your spirit reminding you that you have poor social skills. And this one is teamwork. It's a man and woman ice skating, and he's slipped up and she's tumbling over him, and it says teamwork, ensuring that your hard work can always be ruined by someone else's incompetence. And here's one, nature. This is hard to see. It's dark, but it's an erupting volcano. And it says, nature, can't wait to kill you. Okay, this one, I literally chuckled for at least a couple hours as I would go through the house doing stuff thinking of this one. So I hope it's not offensive to anybody, but this is how warped I am. It's a family picture, mom and dad with 12 children. And it says, the uterus, it's not a clown car. I just picture a bunch of clowns. Oh, anyways. Okay, this is four pencils. Three of them are really dull. One of them is very, very sharp, like it just got sharpened. It says, distinction, looking sharp is easy when you haven't done any work. And then this is the typical salmon swimming upstream, and there's a grizzly bear about ready to take a bite out of his head. It says, ambition, the journey of 1,000 miles sometimes ends very, very badly. And then here's one, losing. It's a baseball player with his head down, sitting on a bench. Losing, if at first you don't succeed, failure may be your style. And then, I told you, these are pretty, you know. Okay, this is reliability, old faithful, blowing the water up, you know. So reliability, it's not really that helpful if all you do is blow up every hour. Ouch! Okay, this one's strife. I don't know why. It's two animals in water. They look like otters, but otters don't, stand that way. But anyways, it's two animals in water, and it says strife. As long as we have each other, we'll never run out of problems. Okay, this one says today. It's a picture of a guy at a desk with crumpled paper all around him, and it says today is the first day of the rest of your life, but so was yesterday, and look how that turned out. And this one, there's no picture, but it says, and this is kind of funny going along with our motives one, if it's a thought that counts, then I should probably be in jail. And then how many of you remember Richard Simmons? Mm-hmm. The world's most annoying, workout guy. So there's a picture of Richard Simmons, and he's, flailing his arms up in the air. It says, staying positive. A positive attitude may not solve all your problems, but it will annoy enough people to make it worth the effort. And then here's one, motivation. It says, motivation, it's a picture of Mount Everest. Beautiful. Dangerous. It says, motivation. Every corpse on Mount Everest was once a highly motivated person. And then this one says, you are unique, just like everyone else. And then this one is one that I chuckle forever. Never give up on your stupid, stupid dreams. So stupid. So that's demotivation. Can I hand that to you to set on the table? Thanks. That's demotivation. So we're not going to talk about that. Although, it's kind of funny. But motivation, the word motive is defined as something such as a need or desire that causes a person to act. And then the Latin is MO. What's your MO? Your modus operandi. A method or procedure The best approach, a distinct pattern or method of operation that indicates or suggests the work of a single criminal in more than one crime. You've often heard, probably watching a mystery movie or something. Well, what was his MO? Modus operandi. What was his motive for doing it? Why do you do what you do? What motivates you? When I was running years ago, having a race on the calendar was my motivation to get out there and do that 20-mile long run on a Saturday. I hated it, didn't want to do it, but it's like, okay, I got to do 26.2 in a few weeks. I better get out here and do it. So didn't enjoy it. And knowing that I was having like 50 people at my house Memorial Day weekend for my birthday, all my family was coming in, was my motivation to work like a dog to get this house totally done. And trying to stay in shape, thank you, Emily, is my motivation. My grandkids, trying to keep up with them is my motivation for wanting to be in shape so I can chase after them. And so we all have things that motivate us to do something, to act, to get something done. And there's a phrase that our society says so much, and I can't stand it. I cringe every time I hear it, and that is follow your heart. Just follow your heart. There's bracelets, necklaces, probably a big old motivational poster that says follow your heart. And I just cringe because the Bible says so much about our heart, and it's not like the best thing. So we see Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Wicked. That's what God says about our heart. And then in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. So does that sound like something you should follow? Yeah, no, me neither. Even the good that we can do can be done with improper motives. And Jesus, I loved how he did this constantly. He called out the hypocrites. He called out the Pharisees. And because he knew what they were thinking. He knew their motives. Only God knows our motives. And so Matthew 12:34, he's just like, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the out of the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, evil. And then Matthew 23:27, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything very unclean. And then Matthew 6:1, Jesus warns us. So it's like, oh, cool. Well, you know, that's them. Yeah, he should have called them out. They were, you know, brood of vipers, whitewashed tombs. But then in Matthew 6:1, okay, here he warns us. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And so basically that's talking about, you know, if we do good things just to be praised by people, well then giddy up, that's what you're getting. You're getting a little pat on the back right then and there because we're not doing it for the right reasons. And so God's not pleased with that. We don't get eternal rewards when our motives are wrong. And examining ourselves, I know when Mark does communion every month, he'll say, you know, examine yourself. Well, I suggest doing it more than just once a month. But in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Well, I don't, you know, we don't want to fail the test. We want to examine ourselves. We want to see, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? What is our motive behind it? And so God challenges us to keep that in check. To be examining ourselves. You know, when I think of examination, I think of a magnifying glass. I think of a microscope. I think of, you know, just those tools that are used for examining something. And so we need to do that to our own heart, to examine it. And then, well, this is a real crowd pleaser. Proverbs 16:12. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Again, our motives are weighed by the Lord. He knows us. We can fool a lot of people, but we can never fool the Lord. In fact, he knows what we're thinking even before we think it. It's crazy. So that's all pretty rotten stuff. You know, we have wicked hearts. We try to do good things, and, well, wouldn't you know, we're trying to just look good. And so what do we do? What's the deal? How do we fix this? And God can make new creations. And Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And then, you know, David, you know, screwed up like crazy, just like we do. And he cried out to the Lord. So we can do the same, like Psalm 51, when he said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And so to constantly be crying out, create in me a pure heart, Lord, you know, and to be like, well, I think I'm doing this for the right reason, but Lord, double check me here, you know, help me to see, open my eyes, because, you know, I don't think anybody here wants to do something with the wrong motive. I think everybody wants to, when you're doing something good, it to be, to come from a heart of, that would be pleasing to God. And you guys are going to have some discussion questions at your tables, and you're going to be able to look up some scripture and talk a little more about this. But another aspect of motives is judging other people's motives, which, I mean, can we really do? No. Should, I mean, do we? Yeah. Should we? No. because it's only the Lord. Again, it's only the Lord who knows the motives. We can presume that, you know, their motives are wrong, but we don't know. And 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore, this, okay, so this verse, I mean, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that, like, oh, come on, did you have to put that there? But this one, this is going to be one that's going to cause you to keep your motives in check and to not judge other people's motives. But 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. And so there's going to be a time of judgment, and everybody's going to face God on the judgment day. And we as Christians are going to be judged. What did you do with Christ? Well, I taught Sunday school. Well, did you do it for me? Oh, and he'll call you out right in front of everybody. And you know, yeah, it's heaven and it's going to be cool and everything. But still, really, do you want God to be like, nope, scratch that one. That's wood, hay, and stubble. That's going to go up because you didn't do it for me. You did it for yourself. And you know, and you can put anything in that you do, not just like teaching Sunday school or whatever. But, you know, anything that you do that you think is good for the wrong motives, that's not going to be lasting. And God's going to call you out in front of everybody on that. And then Jeremiah 17:10, you know, you have Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful. And then Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And so to piggyback on Sarah Beth's talk last week on perception, we shouldn't presume on somebody what we think they're thinking. And it's wrong. It's wrong for us to suggest that when someone does something, it's with wrong motives. So, for example, I created some names here because I didn't want to create a name and all of a sudden somebody shows up and has this name. So if anybody here is named Myrtle, I apologize. But I thought I'd be a little safe with Myrtle. Okay, so Myrtle makes an effort for Hazel, another one that probably knows no Hazels here. Myrtle makes an effort for Hazel, and you think, sure, Myrtle's just trying to get in good with Hazel because she has a vacation home in Maui. Or maybe this. Myrtle didn't say hi to me at church or smile. She is so stuck on herself. What is her deal? So, poor Myrtle. She doesn't even know that Hazel has a vacation home. She's just being nice to her. And she didn't say hi to you in church because she just got a call from her friend who just found out she had cancer. And so these are things that we need to think about when somebody doesn't respond the way we think they should respond. Like, how was their day? I wonder. What, you know, and ladies, this is like, for women, we are so hard on each other. And we need to come together and give each other the benefit of the doubt. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody does stupid things, but we can't beat each other up. The world's going to do that to us already. And so we as sisters need to just, whatever, give her the benefit of the doubt. And here's the thing. If something bugs you so much, like you can't get over it, Seneca, who is a philosophical figure back in the Roman imperial period, is quoted as saying, if you judge, investigate. So if you can't get over this and you're like, no, I really think, then investigate. And the best way to investigate is go to the source. Go to the source and find out, I may be wrong, but man, and let the person, give them the option to either apologize or to clear up any misunderstandings. Like, no, just give each other the benefit of the doubt. And then our job as sisters in Christ is to love God and to love people. And Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And then 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all you do be done in love. And so, that's something we all know. Oh, we're supposed to love each other. Well, yeah, of course, that's a no-brainer. But do we do it? Do we do it so much so that we don't judge the motives of Myrtle or Hazel or whoever or whatnot? And then the last thing that I want to mention before we go into our groups for discussion is not only presuming that somebody's motives are bad, but presuming that somebody's motives are good is dangerous too. And God has, if you are a believer in Christ, God has put the Holy Spirit in you and helps that Spirit to help you to discern good and evil and discern, this doesn't feel right. There's a reason that doesn't feel right. Man, this guy is helping. He wants to help me with my groceries. I'm carrying my baby. Listen to that, because this guy, he's just talking. He's friendly. He talks to everybody like that. You know what? Be careful. You don't know his motives. He might have an ulterior motive. We've all heard that. Well, he had an ulterior motive behind that one. And so just be careful about good things too. Just always pray for that discernment so that you're not putting yourself in a situation where somebody's going to be taking advantage of you. And then the verse that I have that goes with that is to be careful. But Jesus warns us in Matthew 10:16. He says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And so we need to just be in the practice of keeping our motives in check. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So right now we are...